بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah for making it possible for us to resume our classes in Buluq al-Maram. In our last class, or let me say in our previous classes, we have been able to finish everything concerning Kitab al-Salah. Yes, we have discussed every aspect of Salah in our previous class. Obligatory prayers, Nawafil prayers, congregational prayer. We rounded it off with Salatul Janaiz, right, prayer, that is the funeral prayer. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we shall be going to a new chapter entirely, that is Kitabu al-Zakah. Alright, we are going to be discussing Kitabu al-Zakah, that is the chapter talking about Zakah. Now, there are several ahadith under this chapter. We shall be teaching them gradually. Issues concerning Zakah can sometimes be very complex. Okay, but inshallah ta'ala, if you pay attention and follow gradually, it will be clear inshallah. As a general introduction to the chapter, we all know that Zakat is one of the five pillars of Islam. Okay, it's one of the five pillars of Islam, and it is obligatory, okay, upon everybody who has the means. Scholars differ as to when it became obligatory. Okay, at what point did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Zakat obligatory? There are scholars of opinion that Zakat became obligatory right from Makkah. Okay, it became obligatory right from Makkah before the Prophet migrated to Medina. While some scholars of opinion that it became obligatory after migration to Medina, in the second year after Hijrah, that was when it became obligatory. A fourth opinion among scholars is that it became obligatory in the ninth year after Hijrah. So these are three different opinions among scholars as to when exactly the Zakat became obligatory in the Sharia. However, we can reconcile these three opinions, okay, by saying that it became obligatory right from Makkah. Okay, it actually became obligatory right from Makkah, because we have verses in the Quran talking about giving out Zakat, and those verses are Makkiyah. They are verses that were revealed in Makkah. Okay, so we can say that its obligation started from Makkah. However, during the period of Makkah, the obligation was general, such that what was required was just to give out something. Okay, there was no detailed rules and regulations concerning this obligation. So all that was required was just for anybody that had the means to give out something from his wife. Okay, but in the second year after Hijrah, that was when Allah revealed full rules and regulations concerning Zakat. You know, regulations concerning the category of wealth that you can give Zakat on. Because it's not all kind of wealth that you give Zakat on. Okay, so the category of wealth that you can give Zakat on, the nisab, what is the amount or the quantity of the wealth that the money must reach before Zakat becomes obligatory. And then when it becomes obligatory, what is the required amount or quantity to be given out? Also, who do you give Zakat to? Okay, all these rules and regulations became part of the Sharia in the second year after Hijrah. Okay, after Hijrah. Then, in the ninth year after Hijrah, that was when the Prophet of Islam started sending people out to towns and villages to collect Zakat from people. Okay, in the second year after all these rules and regulations were revealed, it's left for people on their own to bring the Zakat to the Prophet. Okay, or to give it out. But as from ninth year, the Prophet started sending his companions to different communities, different villages to collect Zakat, especially from farmers. Most of these farmers are in the village, or from people who are rearing animals. Most of these people they don't stay in one place, they go from one place to they are rearing the animals. So as from ninth year, the Prophet started sending companions out to meet people in different towns and communities to collect zakat. So that was that's how we can reconcile these three opinions. So the obligation started from Makkah, it became full in the second year after Hijrah. Then in the ninth year, the Prophet started sending people out to collect zakat. Now, so like we said, zakat is obligation, and it is one of the pillars of Islam. If a person has the need to give zakat and he refuses to give zakat, what will be the ruling concerning that person? We can divide such a person into two. If a person rejects the obligation, he says he's a Muslim, but as far as he's concerned, zakat is not obligation. He doesn't believe zakat is obligating the Sharia. Then such a person becomes a kafir. Okay? He becomes a kafir, a disbeliever, out of Islam. But if a person believes that zakat is obligated, he agrees, he acknowledges the obligation, but because of greediness or selfishness, he said, I will not give, then such a person is still a Muslim, but he is committing a major sin. Alright, he is committing a major sin, but he is still a Muslim, inshallah. Okay? Now, then we should understand that zakat is beneficial. Alright, it has benefit to the person that is giving, it has benefit to the money or the wealth, and it has benefit to the receiver as well. Okay, as for the person that is giving, when you give out zakat, it starts, number one, you get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fulfilling that obligation. Alright, so you receive the reward, and then secondly, it purifies your heart from greediness. Alright, because for you to be able to sacrifice what you have and give out, it means that you are not a greedy person, isn't it? So it purifies your heart from greediness, from selfishness. Then as for the wealth that is being given out, zakat serves as blessing to the wealth. Alright, as blessing in the sense that it will increase it. Alright, when there is barakah in your wealth will become more useful to you and Allah will increase it. So people should not be afraid of giving out zakat. Don't think that when you give out zakat, you are losing your money. No, rather it is going to increase the money, inshallah. Then as for the receiver, of course, it's going to ease his hardship. Even when a farmer receives zakat, it's enough for him to start life, isn't it? So it's beneficial to the giver, to the money, and to the receiver, inshallah. So these are just brief general explanation to serve as introduction to the chapter. The first hadith. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما عبد الله بن عباس من الله بالجزء اسمه عن الصلاة reported أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث معاذا رضي الله تعالى عنه إلى يمن. He said the prophet sent Mu'adh to Yemen. فذكر الحديث, and he mentioned the hadith to the end. وفيه, in that hadith, أن الله قد افترض عليهم صدقة. He said, if you know, tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sadaqah. Sadaqah here refers to zakat. Zakat obligatory upon them. Fi amwalihim, in their wealth. Tukhadhu min aghniyaihim. It is to be collected, taken from the rich one, the wealthy one among them, for turaddu ala fuqara'ihim, and giving to the poor ones among them. Muttafaqun alayh. Yeah, this is Aziz upon by Bukhari and Muslim. Wal labzu lil Bukhari. This wedding is for Bukhari. Actually, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas concerning when Allah, the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen is a very long hadith. But Ibn Hajar decided to just restrict himself to the point of reference. He only quoted the point of reference in the hadith. Otherwise, when the Prophet ﷺ was going to send Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the Prophet sent him to Yemen in the 10th year after Hijrah, precisely in Rabiul Awwal. So that is like a year before the Prophet died. The Prophet died in the 11th year after Hijrah in Rabiul Awwal. And he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen in the 10th year in Rabiul Awwal. So approximately a year before his death. Okay? He sent him to Yemen to be a governor. Okay? You know, the capital, the federal capital of the Islamic nation at that time was in Medina. Okay, but there were other towns like Yemen, like Egypt, like Bahrain, like Kufa, Iraq, and all the rest. They were still under the Islamic state. So the Prophet used to send his companions to rule over those things. So he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen as a governor and as the judge and also as a teacher to teach them Islam. So when Mu'adh was going, the Prophet said to him, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ فَلْيَقُلْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Prophet said, you are going to meet a people who most of them are Ahlul Kitab, people of the scriptures. Most of them were Jews in Yemen at that time. So he said, let this first thing that you are going to invite them to be what? Let them testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that I am the messenger of Allah. Then he now said to him, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ. If they agree and they obey you to accept Islam, then he says, فَأَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ اِفْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. Then inform them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon them 5 daily prayers. Okay? He says, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ. If they agree and obey you to do that, then the next thing is what? فَأَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ. Then this particular place that Ibn Hajar quoted, أَنَّ اللَّهَ اِفْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Then inform them that Allah has made zakat obligatory upon them in their wealth. تُخَذُ مِنْ أَبْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُ عَلَىٰ فُقَرَائِهِمْ. To be taken from the wealthy ones among them and given back to the poor ones among them. Okay? Now, he now said, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ. If they agree to pay zakat, then the Prophet warned Mu'adh ibn Jabal, say, إِيَّاكَ وَقَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. I warn you, I caution you against taking the best of their wealth. Okay? The best of their wealth. Don't take the most honorable part of the wealth. Okay? Scholars explain this part of their deed in different ways. You know, for example, if we shall come to see somebody who is wearing animals now. If a person has, let's say, he has 30 cows, okay, and he's supposed to give zakat. Okay, let's assume that of the 30 cows he has, 29 are female cows. Only one is a male cow. If you're going to take zakat, you're not supposed to collect the male cow. You understand? Because if you take the male cow, then how will the rest reproduce? Do you understand? He has 29 female, one male. So if you take the male away from him, then you have destroyed the world. So that is what it means by don't take the best part of the world. Don't take the one that by taking it, you are going to cause destruction to the world. Do you understand? So that's why the Prophet warned him, إِيَّاكَ وَقَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. I warn you against taking the best part of their wealth. You are taking zakat, you take from the middle range. And now said, وَتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. Alright, say, beware of the prayers of the oppressed. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ شِدَاءٌ. Because there is no barrier between it and Allah. That is the end of that hadith. Ala kulli hal, that hadith contains a lot of lessons, which is not our major focus now. Our major focus is the part that talks about zakat. Otherwise, that hadith shows that the first thing that you invite a non-Muslim to is to accept Islam. That's why it says, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Okay, you cannot come and meet a non-Muslim and say, come and pray or come and fast. No. Okay, the first thing we start with is what? Accepting Islam. Then after Islam, the next most important thing is what? The prayer. Followed by the zakat. Okay, followed by the zakat. So zakat is very, very important. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned zakat and Quran and zakat and salat together. Akimu salat, atu zakat. Akimu salat, atu zakat. In almost 82 places. Alright? That's to show you the importance of zakat. Ala kulli hal, this hadith shows, it says that أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ اِفْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ. This shows that the zakat is an obligation on the wealth of the person. So the obligation is tied to the wealth. That is why we all know that in Islam, Islamic obligations are only on adults, isn't it? Prayer is only obligation on a mature person. But as for the zakat, even if a young boy or a young person who has not attained the age of maturity has wealth, let's say a person dies, right, and his young child inherits his wealth, do you understand? Zakat, if that money is up to the minimum, the nisab, then zakat will still be obligatory upon it, even though the owner of the money is not mature. Do you understand? Because the obligation of zakat is tied to the wealth itself. That's why the Prophet said what? أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ اِفْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Alright, the zakat is connected to the wealth, irrespective of the status of the owner. Okay? Likewise, if the owner of a zakat, of a money is a mad person, ordinarily as a madman, there is no Islamic obligation upon you, isn't it? You don't have to pray, you don't have to fast, you don't have to go for hajj because you don't have sense. But if you have wealth that is being managed for you on behalf of somebody, managed for you on your behalf, and that money comes to the nisab, then the zakat is still obligatory on that wealth. Okay, so what I want us to get from here is that the zakat is an obligation tied to the work, irrespective of the status of the owner. Okay, that's why I said fi amwalim. Then this hadith also shows that only those who have, alright, are expected to give zakat. Because the true khawmin agniyahi. Okay, so whoever have, whoever is rich, rich here refers to only what is up to the nifa. We shall come to see the nifa for each category of what is up to continue. So it is collected and given to, it says for Torah to see fuqara'ihim. Here scholars say this indicates that zakat can be given to just one category of one category among the eight categories of people that are entitled to zakat. Because in the Quran, in Surah Al-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned eight categories of people. إِنَّمُ الصَّدَقَاتِ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ Isn't it? وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُعَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ Isn't it? Allah says zakat is to be given to al-fuqara, that is the poor, al-masakin, the needy. He now says, wal-azilin alayha, those working to gather the zakat, those are the leaders sent out to gather the zakat, those are the al-azilin alayha, they are intended to collect. Alright, now say, wal-mu'allafati, kulumuhum, those that we want to, those that their hearts are inclined towards Islam, we want to give them to draw their attention to Islam. Okay, that is the first set of people. Then, wafi rikab, it can be given to somebody to free a slave. Alright, Walgari means those that are indebted, Ofi Sabilillah. And that is those who are going for jihad. Then, Wabin Sadi, that is the wayfarer, those a traveler whose provision has finished. These are the eight categories of people that are entitled to collect zakat. But it's not a more that when you are giving zakat, you must look for somebody, you know, from each category. Okay, you can give the entire zakat to one category of person, as indicated in this hadith now. It says, Fatoraddu ala fuqara'ihi. Alright, here it mentioned just one category. So it's permissible to give the zakat to one category among the eight categories of people mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah. Now, scholars also use this hadith to advise that zakat is to be distributed in the town that it was collected from. Do you understand? Because here the Prophet sent a mu'ad to Yemen and he said, collect the zakat from the rich ones among them and give it back to the poor ones among them. Okay, so based on this, scholars say that when we are giving out zakat, if zakat was gathered and collected in Lofada here, it should be distributed to the poor people here in Lofada. We should not take it to Kano or take it to Lagos, except these people here are no longer in need. Then we now take it out to another town. Okay, we cannot take it out to another. That is, it's advisable to do so, not that it's obligatory. Alright, it's advisable to do so. Otherwise, permissible, we can still collect it here and take it to another town. Entirely, because the Prophet used to send his companions to collect the zakat, and they will collect it. Some of them will collect everything and return back to Medina, and it will be distributed in Medina. So it's permissible to take it out, but it's more preferable to distribute to the poor ones in the town where it was collected. So these are some of the rules and regulations that we can derive from this hadith. Now, the next hadith is a very long hadith. Okay, for those who have the book, you will see that it's very long, isn't it? Yes, it's very long and it contains rules and regulations concerning the zakat of animals. Okay, and it's very complex. So I need to pay attention and let us follow it gradually. Yes, I will try as much as possible to explain it to simplify it, and I hope that you will understand, inshallah. This next hadith says, O Anas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, reported from Anas, may Allah be pleased with him. أن أبا بكر الصديق أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه رضي الله تعالى عنه كتب له أبو بكر الصديق wrote for him who أنا this everything you see in this hadith actually was a letter. Alright, it's a small write-up that was written by the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he died. Okay, because when Abu Bakr brought out this letter, it contained the seed of the Prophet, the palm of the Prophet. So the Prophet had actually written it during his lifetime, but he didn't give it out. So when he died and Abu Bakr became the Khalifa, that was when he got possession of that letter. Okay, so whenever he's sending people out to different towns as leaders, as governors, or to collect zakat, he usually gives them that letter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Bakr actually sent Mu'adh bin Jabal to Bahrain. Okay, to Bahrain. Scholars say the Bahrain referred to in the past, it's not the same Bahrain that we have now. Alright, it is more than this particular Bahrain.
على كل حال the town was called Bahrain at that time. So Abu Bakr sent Mu'az, Anas ibn Malik to Bahrain to gather the zakat. So while he was going, that was when he now brought out this letter and gave to him. He wrote it for him, he copied it for him. In that letter it contained, it said, هَذِهِ فَرِضَةُ الصَّدَقَةُ. These are the obligations of zakat. Sadaqah here refers to zakat. These are the obligations of zakat. التي فرضها رسول الله على المسلمين, which the Prophet made obligatory upon the Muslims. والتي أمر الله بها رسوله, which Allah سبحانه وتعالى also commanded His Messenger to observe. Okay, so this letter is from the Prophet, and the Prophet got it from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Now, we start with the zakat for camel. Alright, it says في كل أربع وعشرين من الإبل فما دونها أمبل. He said, for every 24 camels, في كل أربع وعشرين من الإبل, for every 24 camels, فما دونها or less. Okay, what you are going to give out as zakat is al-ghanam, sheep. Okay, you give out sheep, either sheep or goat, it's accepted. Okay, sheep. Now, if you have 24 camels, and we say you are going to give out one sheep, or you are going to give out sheep, how are you going to give it out? You know, explain for that. It says, في كل خمس شاتن. Alright? In each five, you give one goat, or one sheep, like I said. Okay? So, if a person has four camels that is rearing, okay, then there is no zakat in it. Right, zakat will only become obligatory when what you are rearing is up to 5. Alright, it's up to 5 and 1 year has passed since you possessed that 5 camels. Okay, 1 year has passed since you possessed that 5 camels. So, if you are going to give out zakat, you will now buy one sheep and give out as zakat, or one goat. Okay, now, so, when you have 7, how many, what are you going to give up as zakat? It's still one sheep. Alright, even if it's 7, it's going to be 1. Even if it's 8, it's still 1. Until the number reaches 10. Alright, because it says for each 5, 1 sheep. Okay, so until the number reaches 10, then you now give out 2 sheep. Okay? Then if you have 12 or 13, it's still going to be 2 sheep. Until the number reaches 15, that is when you now give out what? 3 sheep. You continue like that until the number reaches 20. That's when you now give out what? 4 sheep. Alright? 21, 22, 23, 24. All you still give 4 sheep. Until the number reaches what again? 25. Yes. From 25 now, that's why you start giving out zakat in camel. Okay, as you are going to see next, as the hadith continue. Alright, we said, for the only arba'in wa ishrin al ibn famadunaha, for every 24 cows or less al ghanam, what we are giving out is sheep. The only khamsin, for each 5, you will give shatan, one sheep or one goat. Alright, فَإِذَا بَلَغَتْ خَمْسًا وَإِشْرِينَ, when the number reaches 25, إلى خمسين وثلاثين, from 25 to خمسين وثلاثين, that is 35. Alright, ففيها بنت مخاض أنثى. In that case, you are going to give بنت مخاض. بنت مخاض means a she camel, female camel that is 1 year old. That's what I mean by بنت مخاض. Okay, Unsa, a female camel that is 1 year old. It has completed 1 year old and has entered the second year. So let's say 1 year and 1 month, or 1 year and 2 months. Al-Muhim, it has not reached 2 years. Okay, so that's what you're going to give up. If your camel is between what? 25 to 35. Alright, so a person with 25 camels will give one she camel, 1 year old. A person with 30 will still give the same thing. A person with 32 will still give the same thing. Up till 35. Are we following? Up till 35. One she camel that is 1 year old. It says, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَقُومُ, if you don't have a female she camel that is 1 year old, Alright? Zakat is obligatory on the camels now. 1 year has passed. They should possess that number. Now, the person collecting zakat has come. He said, all your camels, you don't have a she camel that is 1 year old. For illam takun, if you don't have it, what will you do? He said, fadun labun zakat. Then you can give a male camel. Ibn al-Labun is a male camel that is 2 years old. Alright? 2 years old. It has completed full 2 years and has entered the third year. Alright? It's 2 years, 2 years and 1 month or so. Okay? So that is Ibn al-Labun. That's what they're going to give out as zakat if you don't have a female, a she camel that is 1 year old. Okay? Now. In other words, فَإِذَا بَلَغَتْ سِتًا وَثَلَاثِينَ So, if it reaches 36, that's 36. Don't forget, we said 25 to 35. So now we're going forward now. Now, if it reaches 36 camels, إِلَى خَمْسِينَ إِلَى خَمْسٍ وَأَرْبَعِينَ So, 45 camels, from 36 to 45 camels, then فَفِيهَا بِنْتُ لَبُونَ أُنْثَى In that case now, you are going to give out Bintu Labun, a female or a she camel that is 2 years old. Okay, that's when you don't give up a she camel that is 2 years old. Someone may ask, what's the difference between a she camel and a male camel? Alright, which is more valuable to the owner? It's a she camel, alright, because the she camel can reproduce, isn't it? So that was why when he was supposed to give out a she camel that is 1 year old and he didn't have, he was allowed to give out a male camel that is 2 years old. Alright, even though one they said, okay, but it is higher than 1 year old now. Alright, we say it is higher in age, but in terms of value, the female is more valuable than the male. Okay, so that was why when he could not give out one she camel that is 1 year old, he should have said give out one male camel that is 2 years old. Now from 36 to 45, you are to give out one she camel that is 2 years old. That is Bintu Labun, Unta. Now, فَإِذَا بَلَغَتْ سِتًا وَأَرْبَعِينَ Okay, this is 36 to 45. Now we're moving forward from 46 now. فَإِذَا بَلَغَتْ سِتًا وَأَرْبَعِينَ When it reaches 46, إِلَى 16, up till 60, what are you going to give out? فَفِيهَا حِكَّةٌ Okay, what is due is hekka. Hekka refers to a she camel that is 3 years old. Okay, hekka is what? A she camel that is 3 years old. It has completed full 3 years and has entered the fourth year. Okay, now. It says, farukatul jamal. A she camel that is 3 years old. Farukatul jamal meaning it has reached the state where a male camel can cohabit with it. That's what we mean by Tarukatu al-Jamal. Alright? It has grown up that it can cohabit with a male camel. So that's what give out, that is from 46 to 60. فَإِذَا بَلَغَتْ وَاحِدَةً وَسِكِينَ When the camel reaches 61 now, okay, إِلَى خَمْسٍ وَسَبَعِينَ From 61 to 75. فَفِيهَا جَذَعَ Jada is a she camel that is 4 years old now. Okay, 4 years old. It has completed full 4 years and has entered the fifth year. Okay, so this is for Wahid was 15, that is 61 to Khamsin wa Sabain to 75. Fasiha Jada. فَإِذَا بَلَغَتْ سِتًا وَسَبَعِينَ When it reaches 76, إِلَى 90 up till 90, فَسِيهَا بِنْتَى لَبُونَ What is going to be given out is two she camels, Binta Labun, two she camels that are 2 years old. Okay, so that was given out for as from 76 up to 90. You are giving out two she camels that are 2 years old. That's going by Binta Labun. Now, in other words, فَإِذَا بَلَغَتْ إِحْدَى وَتِسْعِينَ When it reaches 91, إِلَى إِشْرِينَ وَمِيَا up till 120 from 91 to 120 فَفِيهَا حِفَّتَان here you are giving out two she camels that are 3 years old فَرُوْكَتَا الْجَمَلْ that have reached the stage that a male camel can cohabit with them then فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى إِشْرِينَ وَمِيَا when it is over, when it is more than 120 camels, for fi kulli arba'in din talabun, for every 40 camels you give out din talabun, that is one she camel, that is 2 years. وَفِي كُلِّ خَمْسِينَ, then for every 50 camel, Hifqatun, you are going to give out one she camel that is 3 years old. Now, so that is the calculation for camel. Okay? So we are saying that as from 120 and above, when it's got that from 121 now, from 121 and above, if you are going to give out the zakat, then you are going to look at it. For every 40, you give bin to Lagoon, a she camel that is 2 years old. For every 50, you give out what? Hikka, that is a she camel that is 3 years old. So let me ask you, if a person has 130 camel, how is he going to give out zakat? Now, everybody silent, what? Now? 40, 40, 50. Yes, Montaz. Alright? 40, 40, 50. So, for the 240, we're going to give out 2 she camel. Alright? That are 2 years old. And for the last 50, we give out 1 she camel that is 3 years old. Are we together? So, for every 40, 1 she camel that is 2 years old. For every 50, 1 she camel that is what? 3 years old. So, 130, you can have 40, 40 plus 50. Now, what if it is 140 camels? What are you going to give out? Here you can have 50, 50, 40. Alright, so you give out 2 she camels that are 3 years old and 1 she camel that is 2 years old. Are we together? Like that. Now, if it is 150 camels, that is 50, 50, 50, isn't it? So you give 3 she camels that are 3 years old, like that. And if it is 160, here you can have 40, 40, 40 into 4 places, isn't it? So you give 4 she camels that are 2 years old. What if it's 170? Uh-huh. 170. 3, 40, 40, then 150. 3, 40, 40 will give you 120, isn't it? Then you had 150, that will give you 170. Yeah, like that. So that is how you do it, alright? You look at it and you give it out like that. So what if you have 200 camels? Here you have two options, isn't it? It's either you give 50-50, that's 4, or 40-40-5, alright? So the person that's giving out zakat now can decide, alright? The Sharia gives you the option to decide what to give out. So that is how, you can see the Sharia is interesting, isn't it? So that's how you give out zakat. Take note, what we're talking about zakat for animals, we're talking about grazing animals. Do you understand? Grazing, meaning animals that graze on land, okay, on open field, okay? Not the animal that you keep at home and you are going to buy food to come and visit. Do you understand? This type of animal, there's no zakat on it. Are we following? The animal that you give zakat for, this type of zakat that we're talking about, is the one that is you know, grazing on open field. So, if you are rearing camel and it is grazing on open field for one full year, okay, then you are, this is how you are going to give out the zakat for it. But even if you have 5 camels, for instance, and they are not grazing on open field, you are keeping them in your house, you are not going to buy food, sometimes you give them grass, sometimes you buy another thing and give them, then there is no zakat on it like this. Except if you are doing it like that for selling. Alright, you are not keeping it for reproduction, you are keeping it because you are selling. Here there will be zakat on it, but not zakat of animal now. It's going to be zakat of money. Alright, in that case now, by the end of the year, you are going to estimate the money. If the value is up to the nisab for zakat of money, then you will now divide over 40 and give it out the value in money. I hope you get what I'm saying. So there's difference between somebody who is rearing animal and is grazing on open field and somebody who is rearing animal and is for selling. Alright, so both of them will give zakat if it's up to the nisa, but it's different type of zakat. Now, it's different type of zakat. So take note of that. Okay, so he said, وَفِي كُلِّ أَرْبَعِينَ بِنْتَ لَبُونَ وَفِي كُلِّ خَمْسِينَ حِفْقَةً. We have explained that. He now said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعَهُ إِلَّا أَرْبَعَ مِنَ الْإِبِلِ. Whoever does not have except those four camels, فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا صَدَقَةً. Then there's no zakat on that person. We said the nisab starts from five camels. So if you have just one camel or two camels or three or four, there is no zakat on your wealth. No. He said, إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ رَبُّهَا. Except if the owner wishes to give sadaqah. Right? But it's not obligated on your own. He said, let me give out something, fine, no problem. Okay, so that is that about zakat for camel. The next phase we are going to now is zakat for al-ghanam. That's for sheep. Somebody rearing sheep or goat. Okay, how is he going to give out zakat? If it's a grazing sheep, alright, take note. It must be grazing. Because it says, وَفِي صَدَقَةِ الْغَنَمِ. As for the zakat of sheep, فِي سَائِمَتِهَا. As-sa'ima is the one that grazes on open field. Okay, so if it is grazing on open field, like we have explained, that is إِذَا كَانَتْ أَرْبَعِينَ. If the number is up to 40, إِلَىٰ إِشْرِينَ وَمِيَا. From 40 till 120. Alright, إِلَىٰ إِشْرِينَ وَمِيَةِ شَاتٍ. From 40 to 120 goats or sheep, it's a shatu. What you're going to give up is just one sheep or one goat, depending on what you are rearing. Okay? So it means that if you are rearing goat or sheep and it is 20 or 30, there's no zakat on it. Even if it is 39, there's no zakat. The zakat will start as from 40. Alright? So the person who has 40 will give one goat or one sheep. The person who has 60, the same thing. The person who has 70, the same thing. Up till 120. What you are giving out is just one sheep. In other words, فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَىٰ إِشْرِينَ وَمِئَةً. When it is now more than 120, إِلَىٰ مِئَةً, up till 200, فَفِيهَا شَاتَانِ. What you are giving out is what? Two sheep. Okay? So somebody with 121 will give out how many? Two, even though the addition is just one. Alright? Somebody with 150 will still give out two. Somebody with 170 will still give out two. Somebody with 200 will still give out two. Alright? From 121 till 200, it is two sheep. From 40 to 120, it is one sheep. In our case, for Sina Shatan. فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَىٰ مِئَتَيْنِ. When it is now more than 200 sheep, or some 201 now, إِلَىٰ ثَلَاثِمِئَةٍ, till 300, okay? فَفِيهَا ثَلَاثُ شِيَاءٍ. Alright, in that case, you are going to give out 3 sheep. Yes. So from 201 till 300 sheep, then you give out 3 sheep. فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَىٰ ثَلَاثِمِئَةٍ. When it is now more than 300 sheep, okay, for the full mi'ah, for every 100 now, sha', you give one sheep. So once it is up to 300 and above, then you calculate. For every 100, you will give one sheep. So if a person has 470 sheep, what is he going to give up? 470, you are going to give up four. Just four sheep, alright? Because we say for every 100, one sheep. So now, for the first 400, give out one sheep. The remaining 70 is not up to 100 again, so there's nothing on it. Do you understand?
No.
When do you do this? As from 300 and above. 301 and above. No. So, it says, فَإِذَا زَدْ عَلَىٰ فَلَسْمِيَا فَفِي كُلِّ مِيَعْشَىٰ. Now, فَإِذَا كَانَتْ سَائِمَةُ رَجُلْ. If the grazing sheep of a person, نَاتُ سَتُمِنْ أَرْبَعِينَ شَىٰ, is less than 40 sheep. Alright? Shat and Wahina is less than 40 sheep by just one, meaning it is 39 sheep. Alright, but let's say we have sadaqa, then there is no any zakat on it, as I've said. Once it is less than 40, even if it is by just one, 39, 38, there is no zakat for point. He said, Illa an yasha rabwa, except if the owner wish to give up sadaqa, no problem. Okay. Now, in our sense, وَلَا يُجْمَعُ بَيْنَ مُتَفَرِّقٍ. you should not combine between two separate animals. Okay? وَلَا يُفَرَّقْ بَيْنَ مُسْتَنِي. And you should not differentiate or separate between two animals that are combined. خَشْيَةَ الصَّدَقَ, because of the fear of paying zakat. Ya jama'ah, take note. This particular point is very, very important. What does it mean by do not combine between two separate animals? Or do not separate between animals that are combined because of fear of giving out tzedakah. Let us illustrate it with an example. If for sheep, like we said the result starts from what? 40, isn't it? When you have 40, you are going to give out one sheep. Okay, now supposing two people, okay, two people are rearing their sheep separately. This one has 50 sheep. This one also has 50 sheep. Alright, and both of them are operating separately. The place where the sheep of this one sleeps is different from where this one sleeps. The area where this one is grazing is different from where this one is grazing. Alright, everything is separate. Okay, but they are close to each other, but everybody is operating his own separately. When it starts to give out zakat, this man with 50 will give out one sheep, isn't it? This man with 52 will also give out one sheep. Alright? But, you know, they can decide to play smartness. By what? By combining the two sheep. Isn't it? Because we say that from 40 up to 120 is just one sheep, isn't it? So if they combine, if the person that the leader of the Muslims sent out to go and collect zakat, comes to them, they can try to combine the two flocks and say, oh, I can't come now, you count it, it's 100. So the man will say, okay, you are intent to collect just one sheep. You understand? So they have deceived the person. That's what means by combining what is separated for fear of giving out zakat. Are we following? Likewise, another example for, you know, separating what is combined. For instance now, let's say two people also. Two people are rearing their sheep together. Everything is together, it's mixed. Alright, such that the sheep are sleeping in the same place. They go out in the morning to go and graze together. They return back together. They go to the pond or river where they drink water together. They return back together. Do you understand? Maybe the male ones among them are sleeping with anyone among, okay, so that they can become pregnant and give birth. Everything is the same, all right? And the total number of sheep they have is, let's say, 220. Are we following? No. The total number of sheep is 220. So, if they are to pay zakat, how many sheep will they give out? How many? I can help you say two. We said from 40 to 120, one sheep. From 120 to 200, two sheep. From 201 to 300, three sheep. That's what we said. Alright? So if they have 220 sheep, what they're supposed to give us is how many? Three sheep. That's what they're supposed to give us. Alright? So, when the person that is coming to collect zakat comes, they can decide, okay, fine, you know, this 220 sheep belongs to the two of us. Let us divide it now, Abi. Let us keep 110 in this side, 110 in this side. So that we'll say 110 is for you, 110 is for me. So if that is the case, if the person comes, he looks at 110, how many is he going to collect?
One.
Alright, because we say from 40 to 120 is one. So he looks at this one, it's 110, he collects one. He looks at this one, it's 110, he takes one. Instead of three, if they were together. Do you understand? If they were together, it would have been three sheep. But now that they are separated, it will be two sheep. So now you can see they have separated what is combined in order not to pay the full zakat. Alright, so that's what the Prophet is talking about here. Don't try to outsmart the Sharia. Alright? Either by combining what is separated or separating what is combined because you don't want to pay zakat. This is what we call al-fiyah. Alright, trying to outsmart the Sharia. Whenever people try to outsmart the Sharia, their punishment is more severe than people who commit sin outside it. You understand? And that was why in our tafsir class, when we made reference to the Jews, who were told not to catch fish on Saturday, and we said they will go and set their trap Friday night. The fish will enter on Saturday. Then on Sunday they will go and pick the trap. I said, okay, we didn't fish on Saturday. What did Allah do to them? Allah converted them into Muslims. So Allah said, if they had outrightly disobeyed Allah by going to fish on Saturday, it's just like somebody who has committed ordinary things. People commit fornication, people take alcohol, isn't it? And Allah did not convert them to another animal. But if they have outrightly sinned against Allah, probably their punishment will not be as severe as that. But for trying to outsmart the Sharia, Allah becomes more angry. And that's why Allah converted them into monkeys. So Al-Hiyal, trying to outsmart the Sharia is wrong. No. And that is why even the hypocrites, the munafiqun, you know, their punishment on their judgment is even more severe than the punishment of the disbelievers, the kuffar. Alright, because the kuffar openly they say we don't believe in Allah. Alright, we are not going to follow Prophet Muhammad. Fine. But the munafiqun, they come to the Prophet and say, we accept Islam. But behind, they are doing another thing. In their mind, they have not accepted. So they are trying to deceive the Prophet. For that, Allah says, in the munafiqina, the darkil asfal. They are going to be in the lowest kadar. Alright, inside hellfire. So nobody should try to outsmart the Sharia. Alright, don't try to outsmart. When you do that, your sin becomes more grievous. It becomes more. So that's what the Prophet is saying here. That do not try to outsmart the Sharia. Alright, now. Fine. Before we proceed, take note that this particular. Okay, there you go. Alright, I thought it's a very long hadith, and it has a lot of explanations in it. Okay, no problem. Let me finish the aspect talking about animal, because still in this hadith it talks about the zakat for silver. So we'll stop at animals. We can continue from silver next week, inshallah. What I want to say concerning this rule of not separating what is combined or not combining what is separated, this rule only applies to animals. All right, it's very important we understand it. This rule only applies to what? Animal. It doesn't apply to other types of wealth. So for instance, if a person dies, alright, if a man dies and he has, let's say he has 30 million in his account, okay, and he has just two sons, no wife, no father, nobody to inherit me except just these two sons, how are they going to share the money? Alright, okay, I'm not talking inheritance, alright, but they are going to share it equally. Alright, that's the percentage. They are going to share it equally. The two sons, I will take 15 million. Alright. Now, the zakat currently, we'll come to this. This is a different topic entirely. The zakat for money currently, if we are using gold, alright, to calculate it, the nisab is around 17 point something million. Okay, currently. 17 point something million before zakat will be obligated on your money. Now, you see, when the money is in one account, okay, and it is for two sons now. As the money is there, 30 million, is there zakat on it or not? There is zakat, isn't it? Because we said the nisab is 17 million, isn't it? But one will look at the fact that it is going to be divided between two people. Each of them is going to own 15 million, isn't it? So one will look at the share of each person, it's not up to the nisab. But one will look at the money combined, it's up to the nisab. So will they pay zakat or not? Huh? If it is combined, I say it's in one account. It's in one account in UVA. Inside one account, inside under one name. So would there be zakat or not? Huh? So yeah, it's zakat. No zakat. Now, it's all of them know that this money belongs to us. Alright, but it's inside one account. Yeah, with that. What is it? That was a card. No, the card. Okay, fine. Yes. You know, that is the most interesting aspect of Islamic jurisprudence. You know, when you read fiqh, they tell you, اختلف العلماء, scholars differ. This one says this, this one says that. And you wonder, why are they differing? And let me ask you, why are you differing now too? You know? Why can't it be just one thing? No, some people joking like that. All the scholars have different opinion. Why different opinion? Why are you to tell me, why do you have different opinion now? It's all about reasoning, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Sharia appeals to your reasoning. Yes. A Sharia does not want you to be a dumb person. Alright, you must be intelligent. You need to reason.
The account.
Yes.
Normally, now that the money is given to God and by sharing it,
all right, it's very simple. I said before I gave this example, what did I say? I said this rule of not separating what is combined or not combining what is separated is only limited to animals. Is that what I said? I said it does not apply to any other type of work. Is only limited to animals. Therefore, if two people own that money, 30 million, and it's inside one account, so long as it belongs to two people, there is no zakat on it. Because each of them is entitled to 15-15 if they own it equally. Right. Except if one person owns 20 million, another person owns 10 million. Uh-huh. For this one that owns 20 million now, he sold it up to zakat. Right. Otherwise, if they own it equally, 15-15, that's why that the money is together. Alright, there will be no zakat on it. You understand? So the rule of not combining what is separated or not separating what is combined only applies to animals. It doesn't apply to any other type of work. You understand? You see, this information is very, very important. Some time ago, in this town, there was a school, an Islamic school that contacted me. They were having serious debate among themselves. Alright? When they look at their income, the school is co-owned by up to about 4 people, right? And it's a big school. What they are earning, okay, when they look at their money in their account, they have what is up to the Nifal, right? But the money is owned by 4 of them. When they share it, each person's share is not up to the Nifal. You understand? But the money combined in the same account, the school's account, is up to the Nifas. So they started arguing. Some say we're supposed to give out zakat. Others say we're not supposed to give out zakat. You understand? And I was trying to make them understand that so long as individually your share is not up to the Nifas, then there is no zakat on it. Okay? Because this rule of combination or separation only applies to animals. Except if you wish to give out sadaqah. No problem. Give out sadaqah, but obligation. There is no obligation of zakat on that word. Okay, so that is the point. I will come to a question and answer. All right. Okay, what's this? No. Yes. Yes. No. Yes. And you say it's not a question you ask me, so what have you done now? Not because you asked me now. I said I'll take a question later. You say it's not a question. So what have you done now? It's not a question you're asking me. I would actually not worry. Don't worry. I'll attend to this issue after. Oh, it's not that. I just want to get. Let us get to a place where we can talk in that one. All right. So, okay. Question of sadaqa. Now that wama kana min khalisain. This is still part of what I've explained. Wama kana min khalisain. Whatever is from two partners. Khalisain means two partners that are running the animals together. So innahuma yatarajani bainahuma bistawiya. Alright, they are going to give up the zakat jointly, but they will not calculate their share. Alright, according to they will calculate it according to their share. That's the meaning of this statement. For instance, okay. For instance, we said if let's assume that two people own 100 sheep. Alright, two people own 100 sheep. They own it together. Okay, Now, what are they going to give us? They are going to give us one sheep, isn't it? So how are they going to do it? All right, they have to calculate. Okay, they have to calculate and give it out. Let's say, let's assume that in the 100 sheep, let's say 75, for instance. 75 belongs to one person, all right, and 25 belongs to the other person. But everything is together, they are writing it together. Now they are going to give out one sheep. So how would they do it? All right, you know, this person that holds 75 is entitled to bring 3/4 of what they're going to give out. This person that owns 75 is entitled to bring 1/4 of what they're going to give out. Do you understand? So if they take the sheep out from the man who owns 75 sheep, he has given out one sheep now. This other man that owns just 25 will pay him 1/4 of the value of that sheep. And if it was taken out from the sheep of from the 25 of this other man, then the man that owns 25 will pay him 3/4 of the value of that sheep. I hope you understand. This is mathematics. No, people don't like math. So, alright. So that is mathematics. So that is they will give us one, but they have to calculate depending on their share in the flock. That's what I mean by بَيْنَهُمَا يَتَرَاجَعَانِ بَيْنَهُمَا بِسَوِيَّةٍ. They are going to calculate it. They will give us jointly, but they will calculate it according to their share. He now said, وَلَا يُخْرَجْ فِي صَدَقَ هَرِمَةٌ. When you are giving out sadaqah, the zakat, don't give out harimatun, an old animal. An animal that is too old. Harima is an animal that has become too old, that even the teeth are falling off. Don't give out, meaning when you want to give out zakat, don't give out the bad one. Alright, don't give out what is bad, because if you give out what is bad, the person that is going to receive it will not benefit much from it. Okay, so don't give out an old, a too old animal. Alright, wala zatu awar. Don't give out animals that are defective, animals that have deformed, that are deformed. Alright, give out animal that is well, alright, and good. You know, say wala taif. Don't give out a male goat. That's for someone that's riding goats now. Don't give out a male goat, because you know, if a person is riding animals, he needs the male one to continue to impregnate the female one. Alright, so don't give out the male one, because you need it for reproduction. He said, illa an yasha al musaddiq, except if the person giving out the zakat wishes to give it out. Otherwise, like we said in the hadith of Muslim Jabba, I said, the Prophet said to him, iyaka wa kara'ima amwali. Don't take the best part of their wealth. Okay, so when you are giving out, you give out what is good, only what is too old, what is sick, or what is deformative, defective, and also don't give out the best part. Okay, give out something moderate. Okay, so we'll stop here, because the next part was a red car, this is silver. Alright, we are going to silver now. So as you will observe, this hadith only mentions two categories of animals. Ordinarily, we have three categories of animals. Right, you give out for camels, give out for sheep or goats, then give out for cows. Alright, we have not mentioned cows in this hadith. We will come to it in the next hadith, inshallah. So for this particular letter, what we have in it is camel and sheep. Okay, the many aspects of the hadith is going to be talking about silver. So we'll take that next week, inshallah. We'll stop here. أقول ما تسمعون وأشكركم على حسن استماعكم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's sadaqah is recommended. Alright, so it's sadaqah, not zakat. Now, to your question. Now, if a person owns money, okay, that is up to the nisab of zakat, and he did not give out zakat, okay, he did not give out zakat. When he dies, okay, ordinarily if a person dies, before his wealth will be distributed, all debt on that wealth is supposed to be taken out before we now share the rest to the head. Alright, all debt associated with that money will be paid out before we now share the rest. Now, when we say all debt there, some scholars have the opinion that the debt is talking about here is the debt owed to people. Alright, and not does not include the debt owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, that's the view of some scholars. So then, the debt owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires intention. Allah, when you are giving it up, it is not an act of worship. So it requires intention. And the person is dead. When he was alive, he did not intend to give it out. That's why he refused to give it out. Okay, so for them, to some scholars, you only give out the debt associated with people. But that of Allah, we leave it like that. Allah will collect it from him on day of judgment. While other scholars are saying, no, alright, we leave it out all. Both the ones owned to people and the ones owned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that case, in this morning now, we calculate the nisab and we calculate the zakat and to give it out before we now share the rest to the heir. Okay? Now, can a Muslim give zakat to a non-Muslim? Yes. Alright, we mentioned what we are, at the beginning of the class, when we mentioned the 8 categories of people that are entitled to zakat, we mentioned all mu'allafati qulubuhum, alright, those that we want to, their hearts are inclined to Islam. Alright, so we can give them, they are non-Muslims, but maybe they have been good to us, Muslims, we are living there, it's your neighbor, for instance, and you are living peacefully with them, you can start to give zakat, or that would further encourage them to join Islam. So it's allowed, inshallah. They will fall under all mu'allafati qulubuhum. Now,
for example, I want to give the car, 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 I want to give.
You don't have to tell him. It's just Allah sees your mind. You know, it's in your mind. You know, you don't have to go and inform him that this money is zakat. No, that's not something like that. I just give him that one. Right? But in your mind, what I'm giving out is zakat. Allah is going to judge you by your inna al-amalu in your mind. You don't need to tell somebody. Just give up. Let me say that zakat is not equivalent to tax. It's not tax. Alright? Because unlike tax, tax can be used for different purposes. Alright? Tax can be used for different purposes. Under the Islamic state, there is tax also. Tax is more or less close to what is called jizya. Alright, jizya. That one, when the Islamic state government collects it, can use it for anything. Can use it to build schools, can use it to build wells, can use it to build mosques. Or you cannot use the tax money to build mosques. Alright, you cannot use the tax money to build schools. There are 8 categories of people to be given. You don't give to anybody outside those 8 categories. You understand? So, zakat is not exactly tax. You understand? And in this year, in those tax, the government can be changing the percentage. This year, we collect 5%. Next year, we collect 7%. Alright, they are changing it. But zakat is fixed. And that's why it remains in the day of judgment. It never changes. You understand? So, what I'm trying to say is that there are a lot of differences between the zakat as it is in the Sharia and tax. What is closest to tax in the Sharia is jizya. Alright, that's another thing. And then we'll come to this in the book, inshallah. That's one of the time. Now, as you said, we're not, we don't have an Islamic government. Alright, so who is monitoring this? Nobody. Alright, nobody is left for everybody to fear Allah. Alright, like we said, even during some of the prophets, in the second year, when the zakat was made obligatory, the prophet was not sending anybody to go and collect zakat. People on their own voluntarily brought it. It was until the 9th year, that was when he started sending his companions to follow people to go and collect. So from that second year up to the 9th year, who was going to collect from people? Nobody. People were on their own, they were giving it out. Okay? But we have Islamic associations today that are trying to help people to collect zakat. and to give it to those who are in need. For instance, in Bokoja here now, or in Kogi State, we have Zakat Committee, Zakat and Work Committee under the Council of Ulama. Alright, the Council of Ulama has a committee, they call it Zakat and Work Committee. Alright, and this committee goes to different rich men. They go out to rich men and ask them, because some rich men don't think it is Zakat. They are thinking that they don't give Zakat. So the Council of Ulama has a committee that follows, they go to meet some of these rich men and they admonish them. Alright, they preach to them on the need for them to give up Zakat and their wealth, and that if they want to give it out, they can give it to the council. The council in turn will share and distribute to the poor and needy. So Council of Ulama is doing something like that. You also have other organizations like that that are doing things like that, right? So that's an start. That's what we start. Ali Salam. So to tell the person that this money is Zakat. I didn't say it's haram to say so. I'm saying that you don't need to. It's not a must that you must say so. And if they ask you, tell him, no problem. And if he doesn't ask, just give him. Just say, this is money, please give it to the poor ones around. That's all. Rewarding. It's not wrong to use the tasbah. If the essence of using it is just to aid one in counting, okay, without believing that it has any special place in Islam. Alright, it has no any special place. Okay? The Prophet saw one of his wives counting stones. Do you understand? And he said, instead of counting stones, why don't you use your hand? Do you understand? Uh-huh. So, it's better for people to use their hands. Alright? But if they choose to use the tasbah, they say, no problem. Alright? They are not committing sin because they choose to use the tasbah. What is wrong is to attach some kind of belief to the tasbah. Alright, to believe that this one is a holy tasbah, this one is, or this is the more rewarding for you tasbah. Don't attach any additional belief to the tasbah. Alright, if the purpose is just to aid you in counting. Apart from the tasbah, today you have gadgets that are being used now, isn't it? Some people have some gadgets and pressing it and they're counting. So, no problem, inshallah. So long as you don't attach any special belief to it. No problem, inshallah. Well, there is no any set from the Prophet on how the amount to give out to a person when he has been out of the camp. But what scholars unanimously agree is that, like we said, there are 8 categories of people who are entitled to collect zakat. Okay, so we give them according to their needs. For instance, among those that are entitled to collect zakat, you have a traveler whose provision is cut off. He cannot get to his destination. If we are going to give him from the zakat money, we give him what is sufficient to take him to his destination. Do you understand? Among the people entitled to collect zakat, we have somebody who is indebted. Isn't it? We have al-gharimi, somebody who's indebted. If we're going to give him from zakat, we give him what is enough to offset that debt. Do you understand? If it's going to be a poor person or a needy person, for these people, al-fukara or al-masakin, scholars say that we give them what is sufficient for them to feed for 1 year. Alright? Yes, that's what many of the fukara say. What is sufficient for them to feed for 1 year? Alright, so you can see, give somebody 5,000. You know, that will not be given for 1 week. So, apparently, it's not encouraged that people share, in Zakat and Christmas, 2,000, 4,000, it's not good like that. Like, give somebody something, tangible. Alright, something like so. That's what the people are saying. If it's a poor man or a needy person, giving what will be sufficient for him to feed for 1 year. Alright, so like that. So we look at the category that you belong and we'll give you what will be sufficient for you, depending on the category that you fall under. Do you understand? Allah is that. Last question. What's that? No. That yes, it's good when you are giving out zakat. It's good to look at members of your family, those who are in need, members of your relatives, those that it is not obligatory upon you to feed. Do you understand? That will be by relatives now. Somebody whose position is not an obligation on you. For instance, a father now cannot give zakat to his son because it is obligation to feed his son. A father cannot, a man cannot give zakat to his wife because it is obligation to feed his wife. Do you understand? So, or a son giving to his father because it is obligation to feed his father. So like that. I'm talking of relatives that it is not obligatory in the Sharia that you take their responsibility. Those kind of relatives like your uncle, for instance, or your brother, okay, or your cousin, like that, or your auntie. These people, they are your relatives, okay. Their responsibility is not primarily on you, okay. This kind of people is good. If you have those that are poor among your family, it's good for you to give them your zakat. When you give them your zakat, you have double reward. You have reward for giving out zakat. You also have reward for joining kinship ties. Alright, Sulat Ibrahim. You have reward for joining kinship ties to them, and you have reward for paying out zakat. So it's good. Alright? But sometimes zakat can be a very rich man. The zakat can be so much. Alright, but that you can give them and still have something left to give out. Do you understand? So what the Council of Ulama does, okay, coming back to the Council of Ulama now, anyone the council goes to meet this rich man. Alright, sometimes they tell them, give us your zakat. The rich man has the option either to give the council his entire zakat or give the council part of it. Alright, he gives part to his relatives and also gives part of it to the council to be given out to poor men, poor people outside. So that's how they do it. And it's not required to just look at that. Council of Ulama has branches all over the 21 local governments in this state. Alright, and they go out to meet rich people and they gather everything together in one form. Okay, when they do it, they now fix a time for distribution. And when they are distributing, they select people from across the 21 local government. Alright, sometimes, depending on the amount they have in their purse, they can say, okay, from each local government, 3 people. Alright, depending on the money. Sometimes 5 people, sometimes like that, depending on what they have. But they make sure that they distribute it across the entire local government. Because the people they are collecting from is not just from one local government. They collect from local, if they are any rich money, they collect from another place like that. That's how Council of Ulama operates the zakat and work committee. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Yeah.